What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in. Before we even get into the podcast, I just want to mention that we did have some audio problems with this one, so if you hear a little bit of funky audio, please excuse us. I think we did a pretty good job of covering it up, so it shouldn't be too bad, but did end up getting a new microphone because of it, so could be a blessing in disguise, but enjoy the podcast. Hey. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Under the Microscope, where we dissect the art of basketball. I'm Coleman Ayers from By Any Means Basketball.
And I'm Yosef Ushak from Valley Basketball Skills Training.
So this topic is something that I get a question on all the time. Yosef, I'm sure you do too. And it's never really been something I believe in. And it's honestly pretty tough to answer just because it's a question with a lot of depth. So it's tough to answer in one DM or one email. So figured we would hop on the podcast, make an entire podcast about it. So if you've been looking for the answer to this question, this is the podcast for you. And that question is, what do I look at when I'm shooting the basketball? If you've played basketball before or coached basketball before, whatever it may be, I'm sure you have an idea of what to look for or what maybe not to look for, and what you would teach players when they ask this question. Right, so some will teach like the front of the rim or the back of the rim or where the net meets the rim or the middle of the bucket or the middle of the backboard, whatever it may be. Some people also look up at the ball when they shoot and kind of watch the path of it as it approaches the rim. Some don't. So it really just varies player to player. It's something that you will probably never meet two players that will tell you the same thing. And also what players say they look at really varies from what they actually look at or don't look at. You'll see what I'm talking about in a couple seconds when they shoot the basketball. So I'm here to tell you guys that looking at a specific marker or point on the rim while shooting is only going to hurt you. And this is the reason why I say this is when you shoot the ball, it should be an unconscious process, right? So think about when you're on fire, you're shooting with fluidity, with rhythm, without even thinking about it. You're in the middle of a shooting streak. Think about how that feels. Just consider that. Now think about how it feels when you're thinking about every single minor detail as you shoot. Which one's more likely to go in? As a hooper, you know that that first one, where you're shooting with fluidity and rhythm and most importantly, just without thinking, that one's way more likely to go in. And basketball is such an instinctual, quick-moving game that it moves so fast. From the time that you catch the ball to the time that you lock in on the rim, all the way to the time that that ball is leaving your fingertips, that can happen in less than a second. It should happen in less than a second, to be honest. I mean, I haven't measured it recently at least, but it's my guess that you should be able to do this in less than a second. So if you're consciously aiming at something every time you shoot, aiming is a conscious process, right? So if you are shooting an arrow at a target and you're really aiming that thing, that's going to be more of a conscious process. Like, all right, maybe I could move it a little bit down, move it a little bit to the left. Like, you're aiming that. It's a conscious process. And when we make something that's supposed to be a subconscious or unconscious process, so shooting the basketball, to be conscious, that's not good. And that's the definition of overthinking. And I'm sure a lot of you guys deal with this in games. So you're not supposed to be aiming. You're supposed to be letting that shit fly and trusting your training. Because we've worked so hard for this to become muscle memory that to think about it every single time we shoot, to look for that little piece of the rim or whatever it may be, it's converting it back to a conscious process. So it kind of takes away from that training that we've done and devoted it to muscle memory. And it's going to make it tough to get into that zone where you're not even thinking. So one study I'll get into, it's pretty complicated, so I'll just give a brief little explanation of it. It's actually in table tennis players, which is interesting, but it's in China. So table tennis is pretty badass over there, I've heard at least. Like, they go very hard, so these guys are really pros or experts, so don't write it off just because it's table tennis, right? So basically how they did this study was they had two tests, one to measure conscious control and one to measure unconscious control. methods, again, were a little bit complicated, so I'll put the link in the description, or I guess, yeah, description. It is in a podcast. I was thinking bio on Instagram or whatever. Put the link in the description. But basically, they measured experts and they measured amateurs for both of these tests, unconscious and conscious. And it turns out that experts and non-experts showed almost no difference in that conscious test. So, in other words, anyone can think about a sport and the motions in it while you're doing it. Anyone can aim at the rim. And although there probably is a little bit of a motor learning aspect to table tennis, it's pretty simple. So everyone kind of knows how to move their arm to hit that ball. So everyone can kind of consciously do that. But where that difference came in was the experts showed greater levels of unconscious control. So the better the table tennis player was, the more their skills were kind of in that zone where they didn't have to think about it. And this definitely applies to basketball. If you look at the best players or talk to the best players, I don't know if they'll mention this, but they're likely not thinking about everything as they go through it. That's what we try to get away from in training, at least personally. I kind of try to breed everything to be very, very instinctual. And that study kind of shows this entire concept. So, Yosef, I know you've done some good research and looked at some NBA players. So if you could just give some info on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so definitely. So I took some time to check out like a lot of players' forms and just eyes while they're shooting actually on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I came across a lot of the better known shooter, or like a lot of the shooters that we all know are the one of the greatest around, so like Steph, Ray Allen. Right. I even checked out Reggie Miller, Kobe. They all stare at the rim while they shoot, but I'm very sure it's not something that they actively try to do on purpose. It's just something that's just deeply enrooted in them because of the training that they've done in the past. Yeah. So what I think is there are also some other players such as like LeBron, sometimes even KD, where they would look at the ball as it's like going in its route. So while the ball's in the air, they would follow the ball with their eyes and then follow it throughout the rim. So there, I wouldn't say any one way is better than the other. It's just that whatever is what, how, however that player developed their shooting ability is what just stuck with them innately, and that's just how they do it unconsciously. But what I would say is when a player's learning how to shoot, developing their ability to shoot, it may be good to have that as a indicator, as a marker of what to accomplish in the shooting. So whenever players like coming into brand new, like let's say they broke their elbow and they're just recovering, they're learning how to shoot, or it's a young kid learning how to shoot for the first time, it's important to have these kinds of setting or these training settings kind of structured in a way where because they're like a blank slate. So they got to make sure that they're doing everything step by step, bending their knees, shooting through their waist, shooting on their way up, all these following through, all these things that they that we're taught to when we're younger or whenever we learn how to shoot. So sometimes those that one of the lessons there, one of the tips that coaches and trainers give is to follow a spot on the rim or choose a spot on the rim to aim at. But that's only if these kids or these players that are recovering or whatever, a player that might just be late blooming into basketball, that's only for those players to take advantage of. For players that you wouldn't see, say, Tim Grover training Michael Jordan saying, so now every time we shoot a free throw, I want you to look directly at the front of the rim or the back of the rim or whatever the case may be. He's just going to tell them to shoot the free throw. Because the less you think, the more natural, the more subconscious, and the more just immediately the action that you need to make throughout your body is going to happen without much conscious thought. So that's the level that we always want to achieve in basketball. We just want to be able to play without thinking and just our minds completely turned off and everything is just instinctual as possible. And you would in these late game situations and
you're gonna choke if you think
yeah there's already so much to be concerned about, like where the defense is going to be, how far you're going to be from the rim, how much time's left on the clock. To add another thing to think about, such as where to look at the rim, is just going to be so much overkill, which is something that doesn't even need to be. It's not as important as everything else that needs to be considered in the basketball game. So it's something that I think a lot of players definitely need to move away from when they're already developed shooters and already have at least a few months of experience in shooting the ball.
Yeah,
and another
right. Yeah, no. I was just gonna say, like, going back to the benefit for unexperienced players, it doesn't have to be an inexperienced player. I definitely agree with that. But it can also be a player who, let's just say they have a problem with catching the ball and locking into that rim. This may be a time where you're like, look, here's a reference point, so front of the rim, whatever it may be, for you. So you're going to catch it in kind of an awkward position. It's just an example of a drill. Catch it in an awkward position, really lock on this point in the, on the rim, and then shoot it. And then maybe do this for a couple days until they really have it down, and then move on. Personally, when I'm shooting the basketball, and I'm sure the best of shooters do this, when they catch that ball and look at the rim, they're not looking at a certain point on the rim. They're just letting their mind kind of self-organize and let their eyes look at whatever is optimal. So eventually you progress to that level, and that's just another benefit I see in this. And just a cool little anecdote. I can't remember where I heard this, really. I wish I could, but it's really just a story about an archer, right? So like we were talking about earlier, shooting an arrow at a target. It's a little bit more of a conscious process, but you still get that muscle memory down and you have to trust your instinct. So basically what happened in this story was the archer would get to 24 out of 25. So he would get to the 24th shot every single time, just knocking out those first 24, boom, 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 like every single time, just right in the bullseye. But every time he would get to that 25th shot, he would miss it.
Yeah.
He would choke.
Yeah.
And this just goes back to he was making that 25th shot a conscious process rather than just trusting that muscle memory. In his mind, he's thinking, all right, I'm here. I'm at 25. Last 24 were cake. Like, he just got there. But now he's on that 25th shot, that conscious thought comes into play, and he missed it every single time. Every single time.
And then
time.
another thing that just reminded me of is from this book called The Champion's Mind. It talks about how this trainer, it talks about how to train athletes, how trainers need to give certain markers to their clients that they're working with, and what are certain markers that they definitely should not bring up. So one of the things that it mentioned is that you never want to tell your athlete what not to do, because that's the only thing that's going to be on their mind. This is kind of a little bit off topic, but it relates a little bit. So you never want to tell your athlete, don't look at the rim when you're shooting, or like don't focus on any spot on the rim. Just that you just want to have, just tell them shoot the ball. Because when you tell them don't look at the rim, or don't aim at a specific spot at the rim, they're obviously, that the only thing on their mind is not to do that thing that you're telling them not to do. And then so that thing you're telling them not to do is the only thing on their mind, so they're just going to subconsciously do it. So that's just kind of besides the point. It's a little interesting point I just wanted to bring up, but it kind of relates, because you don't want to tell every single time a player where to look, just because they're going to obviously do it every single time they look, every time they shoot, right? And this is going to build that reliance and dependency to have to do it. But unless you're doing it in an early stage where it's developing that muscle memory to start with, that's good. But if it's already an experienced player, it just shouldn't happen.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure if you ask like at least 100 basketball players where they look when they shoot immediately after they shot, or like where you just ask them, where do you just look at, where I guarantee at least 90% of them would say, I wasn't really paying attention to that. But,
right, and there'd be a big correlation between the experts and saying that I have no idea what I'm looking at, and then the amateurs who are saying I'm looking at a certain thing. Because if you're looking at something every time you shoot, I guarantee you you're not a good shooter. Yeah, or at least you're not as good as you can be.
And then so ways to develop or implement this is there are two different ways I can think of, maybe some more if we get to it. But one way is putting a time constraint on your shooting.
Definitely.
So instead of just kind of shooting lackadaisically, like a lot of people is getting up, air quotes, shots, is just when they just stand there, catch and shoot, lazily just shooting without any kind of game speed intensity. So in these settings, it's really easy to just kind of like find yourself just commonly or casually looking at the rim, not really shooting with intent, but the more when you add the speed and when you add like a time constraint to the equation, players are now focused on just getting that shot up as quickly as possible and as accurately as possible, and don't really have much time to think. So that time constraint just gets rid of that ability and that necessity to think about where they're shooting or where they're looking when they shoot. So that's definitely one way we can do it. And then another way is to introduce to incorporate, if possible, if you have the resources to. Incorporate a defender. Yep. So if you have a defender closing out on you, there's no fucking way that this defender is going to allow you to hold on. Are you ready? Are you ready to shoot? You know where you're about to look at yet? There's no way they're going to
the back of the rim.
Yeah, like make sure you're locked in before you shoot, bro. But yeah, they're never going to let that happen. So you have incorporating a defender into your shooting drills where they close out on you in different ways. Sometimes they run by you. Sometimes I don't know if you guys have had players close out on you when they kind of like look like they're about to chop out your shins or your legs, take out your knees. Those are the worst types of closeouts. But regardless of those closeouts, you have to get that shot up quickly in a timely fashion. So you don't have time to lock in and aim and lock and load or whatever you got to do. It has to be a quick, immediate, just instinctual reaction to that shot. And that's just developed through, like anything else in basketball, it's developed through hours and hours of training until it becomes instinctualized. And then, what are some other ways you think can be developed?
I think it honestly just comes down to finding ways to force yourself to shoot instinctually. So, like you mentioned, time constraints, defender, really any way to basically put pressure. Yeah, any way to put pressure on yourself to kind of force your body to just shoot the ball.
It's shooting from an awkward position, and you need that shot to be in the air by the time like you're fully rotated. It's hard to explain without showing a video, but any way that you can add sort of pressure or something that's forcing you or urging you to shoot faster, that's going to help you kind of, like I said, self-organize, which means your eyes are going to lock in on whatever is best instead of whatever you want to lock in on. And those two things can differ or will differ most of the time. So and I think it's also, you just have to consider during these workouts that you shouldn't be locking in on one thing. And if you are locking in on one thing, you shouldn't be noticing that you're doing it. It should just be catch, shot. Don't even think about it. And I think this is kind of the root of a lot of shooting slumps and players who struggle in games, and it's just continuing to think about stuff. And this is kind of the root of it, because if you're staring at some singular spot on the rim, you're going to be consciously thinking about it, period. Like, there's no question about it. And once you really kind of make that transition to an unconscious shot where you're just letting it fly, I think it can help you a lot.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you just reminded me, you won't even have the time to, in an actual game situation, you wouldn't even have the time to lock in. Like, you wouldn't really, like, it would be really obvious about what you're about to do. You're kind of telegraphing that you're about to take that shot. So, in fact, you want to kind of be looking away as long as possible before you're actually getting to that shot. So, like, as you're rising into the shot is when you're looking towards that direction, not even at a specific spot, just, like, towards that direction. Because there's no way you can lock in from like jab stepping, whatever move you are making, into getting to your shot and then locking in at a certain spot that quickly. Like, it just takes too much effort.
Yeah, your eyes can only focus on one place. Yeah. So if you're locking in on the rim before you're getting into your shot, you're not going to see the defense. You're not going to be able to see open passes. Yeah. Like, a lot of the most advanced players will go up into the air and still be able to make a pass. Like, they'll go up into a jump shot, 100% intent is, I'm going to shoot this ball. Two defenders close out, so they make that pass. And that just shows to me that they're not fully giving tunnel vision to that back rim. The front rim or whatever it may be.
Yeah. And there have been even cases with, I've seen players when they go up into their, they jump to make a pass, and then they've actually found, like, they realize that pass isn't there. So instead of, like, I mean, this is obviously a very elite player, but player jumped up into making that pass, but that player wasn't really paying attention, so that player, the player to make that pass, actually just shot the ball instead. So he jumped without the intent of even shooting and was still able to get that shot off and made the shot, and then was able to, so that just goes to show that he definitely wasn't looking at the rim to start off.
Nah, he wasn't thinking, oh shit, I can't shoot the ball. Now I'm gonna go and look for the back of the rim.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, he was just thinking about probably nothing, to be honest. Yeah. It sounds crazy, but I promise you, once you guys get into that kind of feeling, you're gonna see what we're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah.
You got anything else?
No, I think it would be beating a dead horse
hopefully
at that
we
point.
We covered everything. Yeah. yeah. So hopefully we covered everything. We may sound a little biased, but I genuinely believe that you're just going to do yourself harm if you're trying to find somewhere on the rim to aim at when you shoot. Again, it's aiming. Aiming is not a good thing in the game of basketball. But there are some benefits, like we mentioned. So if those do apply to you, then take advantage of them. But in general, as a hooper, let the ball go. Mm-hmm. Just shoot it. Literally just shoot it. Work on your form, obviously, but I don't think this should be something that you're consciously thinking of. The less conscious stuff you can have, the better. And that's just how I see it, and that's how I will always see it.
But yeah, so this was one of our shorter topics for the podcast, for the show. So if you guys ever want to hear more of these shorter topics, send us any ideas or any topics that you want us to talk about. We're more than willing to get through with those, and it's always fun in researching little specific things like this. So,
gets you to be creative, like looking up table tennis studies in China and stuff. But yeah, definitely let us know if you guys have any questions, short or long. We'll answer it, and hopefully everyone just engages in conversation, even teaches us some stuff. So, thank you guys for tuning in as always.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Stay safe.